Look at me. What you perceive creates an illusion of who I am.
You don't know me.
You don't know me.
These arms hold the weight of my ambition. These hands craft efficiency. I build machines that gather light and give energy to my needs. Solar panels that power to make our future green.
You don't know me.
You just see me. My fingers are on the pulse of man's quest. I build robotics to inform what's next. In these innovations lie our success.
You don't know me.
I will belong to no limits. I code, I build, I create, I make.
You don't know me.
You don't know me.
You don't know me.
But you will.
Today, we talk R.I.P. Tommy Ford, Dr. Dre, Azalea Banks, Janet Jackson, Little Mix Strippers, Racist Senate Promises, Snakes on a Plane, Price is Right, and more on today's Headlines with Headliners. Stay tuned.
Hey.
You don't know me.
You don't know me.
No, you don't know me.
You don't know me.
You don't know me.
You may see me, but you don't know
you
me.
You think you know me, but you have no idea. You don't know me.
You have no idea.
Oh my. Yo, that commercial was powerful.
Oh
I like that
gosh.
A lot.
Like, I build robotics and things that bring light to my future.
It was. It made me feel like I might have to go Verizon right now.
Man.
I really. It was a good. You know when a commercial really makes it happen?
That's all. That commercial was everything. Hey!
But you know I you gotta do the face too. Like, you gotta dance you with your face. Like, no, on the west side, hey! The hey! So, you started off talking about syphilis. We were talking,
what?
And I was like, something about syphilis.
Do not start the show with
no,
syphilis.
No, I need to know what the. There was a syphilis story coming to play.
It wasn't a syphilis story coming to play. You said that I was always sick. And
yeah.
Then you joked and said, next you're going to say
syphilis.
You had syphilis.
And then you were like, funny you mentioned that.
I was just going to say that I have been having an extreme infection, a natural infection.
Oh.
And my woo-ha, which yeah. Women get when
yeast
it's hot.
Infection.
Yeah.
A yeast infection. That's actually a thing. And it's actually, yeast infections are scary to me because they are like basically mini STDs in a way. Like,
no.
They are though.
No, they don't.
And
no.
I'll tell you why. Because they have the symptoms, right? They have the symptoms of STD. So the first, girls never think they just have a yeast infection. They always jump to, you gave me chlamydia. Like, that's the way it goes. It's never like, oh, maybe my natural chemistry is unbalanced right now due to natural production of yeast. You know?
Oh, no. I was in Planned Parenthood cussing. I made them give me medicine that was, it's fine. Okay, so everybody assumes it's something else.
Everyone
I was like,
assumes.
I want the medicine for something else and we'll wait for the test results to come back. And then, of course, they were negative. And then they were like, well, maybe you have a UTI. So then I took the medicine. This is the type of shit I go through. The medicine for urinary tract infection. Then I was like, I am on fire. It's week number 3. I'm dying. And then it was
a yeast infection.
Yes.
That's a very common blatant yeast infection. Monostat it up and get over it. But no one ever goes that way. I'm telling you, girls always jump to that conclusion.
It is. And it's even worse if you have more than one person because you're like, damn, who am I about to blame this?
Oh my gosh. It's like you're playing whoever dealt it with your vagina.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's why we have the show Headlines with Headliners. I'm Teron Von Gosry. Please find me at I am Teron across the board. Social media. Nate Jackson is not here, so I'm filling in as lead host. And of course, we have the beautiful co-host.
Hey guys, it's your girl, Kanisha Bussabust here, sitting here each free.
Yo, she's looking very dapper today.
Thank you.
You're looking very, very mamacita-ish. It's very nice. It's the rose. It's the hair. It's the you have a whole vibrancy to your body. Maybe it's the yeast medicine.
It
maybe
could
yeast
be
infection
that.
Medicine.
It is. I'm all cleansed.
You're
now.
Cleansed right now. That's
be.
The thing. I'm just so glad. Look, sometimes, most of the time, this is why I believe that God is a man, because we don't go through nothing.
Nothing.
I'm not. There's no head popping out of my. There's no head popping out of my genitalia. There's just like I don't go through anything when it compared to. And I die earlier, so I die right before it's about to get
bad.
You see, like
we're here. Know. Grandmothers are always outlasting everybody. You know
grandmas
what I'm saying?
Live forever,
oh.
And I'm glad they do because we all need some grandmas in the world.
Yes, we do.
You know, but when it comes to death. Unfortunately, as the comedy community, we experienced a very harsh death over the weekend.
Yes.
Going into the week, we start off the show on a very somber note. One of our own comedian, brother, actor, philanthropist, motivational speaker, yes, father, Tommy Ford, passed away from a ruptured aneurysm in his abdomen. Best known for his role as Tommy on the hit 90s show Martin, yes, of course. Ford was also a regular on New York Undercover and in the classic film Harlem Nights, amongst many others. Make them laugh in heaven, Tommy. You know?
I just want to go, we miss you, dog. Like that.
Yeah, that's real though.
I fortunate enough, my very first film, I got to work with him, and then he put me in another one of his films, and he's just an amazing dude, and he's such a, it's so cool to grow up watching and loving somebody and then being able to meet them. And you know, growing up, they always go, you don't want to meet who you idolize in Hollywood. They're not the same. Oh my God. He was just so humble, and he ended up mentoring me on a lot of things, and he was just an incredible man. And this just absolutely was a shock to everybody. So
I mean, I've never met Tommy Ford, so I can't speak on him on a personal level. As a fan of Martin, of course, growing up in the 90s, that's what we did. We watched Martin. There were some shows you had to watch. You had to watch Fresh Prince. Yes. You had to watch Martin. You had to watch In Living Color. Like, these were shows that... And you had to watch Saved by the Bell. Those four shows made your life. They created who I am as a person. So I grew up watching Tommy, of course, on TV. I never met the gentleman. I do hear a lot of good things, especially now post-mortem, but I heard so many good things while he was alive, yes, about him, how kind and gentle of a man he, mm-hmm, was, and how helpful he was to a lot of people in the community. Yes. I never got to experience that firsthand. Because a lot, and what I'm saying that for is because a lot of times we notice that in death, all of a sudden,
yes,
monsters become angels. Like, all of a sudden, it's like, he's such a good man. Like, if I die and someone says, oh, he was so nice, they're lying to,
yes,
you. I am not a nice person, okay? I'm an ass. We know this. My mom knows this. My dad knows this. My third grade teacher, Miss Wilson, who actually called me an ass in class, knows this. Like, this is just how, yes, it works. So when people pass, we always talk about them, of course, with respect, but that respect crosses the line into make-believe, and creating something that wasn't actually there. With this gentleman, with Tommy, I feel like no matter what people are saying, it's not even as much as what they were saying when he was alive. Like, they always talked really, yes, well about this person. Even his ex-wife spoke on how highly of a good father he, yep, was to their children. Or I don't know if they were ex-wife, but I think that was the situation. So,
man. Yeah,
look at that smile. He
had an infections laugh too.
Yeah, but he didn't have a job though.
Oh man,
Tommy didn't have a job. We never really knew what Tommy did. You know, they said eventually, like, I guess he was supposed to be a counselor of some sort.
Oh really?
But I mean, the point was, it was really funny to me is that he didn't have a job.
Yeah, and to this day now we'll never know, because you want to hear it out of his mouth. So that's, he has a job making people laugh in heaven, I guess.
I mean, that's the thing. And then, I mean, Martin had Martin. I want to know if Martin and Tommy were close at the end. I'm interested. We haven't really heard a lot, because people are just like letting... It was such a sudden death.
Yes.
He was only, what, 52? Yep. Something like that? It was such a sudden death that people are like kind of being very respectful. So yes, usually TMZ and everyone's not. But this time, for whatever reason, and maybe it's his character, they're being very respectful. We're not getting a lot of juicy details about him or his life. We do know that Cole was there at his deathbed.
Yeah.
When he was there. And then his family, like... let TMZ and everyone know.
Well, I think all them guys are pretty close, because the movie that that Tommy had wrote and put me in, Cole was actually my husband in the movie at first.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and then we ended up switching roles, and Juana, man, it was my ex-husband. It was crazy. But okay. So they were really good friends still, and Martin had put something out saying that he was his brother. He loved him. Like, it was, you know, a friendship more than just work. So I feel like them guys were all pretty close.
I wonder where Tisha Campbell's going to fit in all this, because there was a problem. Yeah. There were problems on set with Martin and Tisha, and there was a lot of hot fire there.
Yeah.
And I don't know where Tommy fit in. Like, you know, the age before social media, we didn't get all these little juicy details that we get now. Like, we get everything up to date by the second, and we know what's going on. People go off on Twitter, and then boom, this is what happens. But at that time in the 90s, it wasn't like that.
No.
And there was a lot of drama, trust me, because we act like drama just got invented in 2010.
It's been out.
So Tisha and Martin had their problems, and I wonder where Tisha fit in, and who's the other young lady that's on that
Pam.
Show? Yeah, Pam. Like, I just wonder how it all fits, and I hope that, you know, this picture of Martin that we have up on the screen, I hope that's how they attend the funeral.
Yes, which, you know, I think they will, because and just to honor what type of man Tommy was, he knows that they would have wanted them guys all to come together for his funeral. So I think they'll all come, show up, and, you know, won't have any drama.
And he was on a Bill Bellamy show too. Who Got Jokes?
Oh, he was on Who Got Jokes. My favorite role of Tommy. Remember Class Act? A lot of people don't remember he was in Class Act.
Ooh, good one.
Oh my gosh. So I mean, he's been around. I absolutely adore Tommy. So rest in peace, and we appreciate everything you've contributed to the game.
I would say let's have a moment of silence, but I don't think that's what any comedian would want.
No,
we want like a round of applause. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? One last standing O for you, Tommy Ford. Thank you for giving us years of joy. Honestly.
Man, yes.
Story number two, we go on to some more drama, like actual drama, okay. Some real drama. The NWA biography Straight Outta Compton was a worldwide successful box office hit with over $200 million, but it seems it didn't tell the whole story. So mm-hmm. Lifetime basically did what it always does, especially best. It does this yes. best, is create its own biopic over yes. whatever the situation is, and made Surviving Compton. This one telling the story from the point of view of Michelle Toussaint, who was there from the beginning, even. And Michelle's, if
Michelle
you remember.
A.
Is it Michelle A? Is that how she goes?
Yes, Michelle wow. A. Yeah.
We get it, Michelle A. You're black. So listen, she was the one who sang the hook on Dr. Dre's first notable hit, Before You Turn Off the Lights, which I remember that song. It was like 88, 89. And Toussaint also has a child with both Dr. Dre and
Suge Knight,
which I thought was very interesting. And more importantly, this version of the movie shows a lot of... It doesn't show Dr. Dre in the best light, okay? It shows his volatile relationship with a lot of different women, including the depiction of the infamous beatdown of hip-hop TV personality and Pump It Up host D-Barnes, yeah. which wasn't in the original, of course. A lot of people were upset that it was absent, and Dr. Dre has been all over Twitter because of this.
Oh, Black Twitter tore him apart, but it's crazy because a lot of people are trying to say Michelle A came with this because of the success of Straight Outta Compton, but Michelle A has been going around telling this story forever. She has been working on this way before they started working on Straight Outta Compton. I actually had the pleasure of interviewing her over on Sirius XM and got a lot of, you know, we talked about a lot of this because it's like, oh, you got babies by both. You know, you want to get in deep, but she's always been very vocal about the abuse that she had with Dr. Dre, and it's funny because everybody's acting like they didn't know. When I seen Straight Outta Compton, everybody was like, where's Michelle A? They took her out, and she was a big part of NWA minus the drama that they had. She was a big part, and they just completely stripped her from the movie. You know what I'm saying?
They stripped her. Is it because Dr. Dre did not want her in the movie?
And this is the part I don't know. And even watching the movie, I was like, wow, they're not going to have her in here at all. They're not going to mention her at all. She was a huge part of that. And even if they took away, I don't know if you could show her without showing the actual abuse, because that's part of the relationship of why she wasn't there. You know, I don't know. That part, nobody really knows, but they came hard with this. They got all the details in this.
I mean, there was this one scene where Dr. Dre's like drunk. He's coming over at night, and you think he's coming over to get some.
Yeah.
And he just beats her. Like, he doesn't even hit. He just beats her, and it's like, it's disturbing.
Yeah.
Like, it's disturbing. It crosses line, because I'm very sensitive to violence against women.
Yes.
And a lot of people always think it's like a thing, like maybe it has to do with my family life or something.
But men should be against violence against women.
Yeah, I mean, it does have to do with my family life, actually. And that's something I don't talk about a lot, because my dad actually is like the nicest man on the planet. And so he treated my mom so well that I don't know anything else to compare it to. Like, my dad was it like to the point where it's actually annoying. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's annoying. Like, we get it. You're married. You know what I'm saying? Like, we get it.
Oh, your mom just loves it.
It's not a holiday. You're bringing flowers, bro. Calm down. Like, we get it. You appreciate what my mom does. We get it. So myself and my brother and my sister were raised with this, making my sister unruly to deal with, to be honest, because she just expects every man to treat her like a king, you know, and her like a queen, and then to be a king and her like a queen. And then my brother is just like almost too nice to girls, where he gets used. Yeah. I feel like he's had two girlfriends. All right.
Aww.
Yeah, he's had two girlfriends, and then he was with her since eighth grade, and then like 2 years ago they broke up, and now he's dating another person. It's like, really, bruh?
I love it. You got your family just raised my standards,
really,
right here,
bruh? Like, I mean, really, like, but it's a thing. So it bothered me. Like, as a man, we're supposed to protect women. And yes. I'm not saying, look, gender equality and all that is amazing, but that doesn't mean that there isn't a sense of chivalry that should run and course through the blood of all men.
Yeah.
Be a gentleman, you know? Gentle man. And that's the concept, is that because just because you're stronger doesn't mean you're supposed to use it. It's even stronger when you don't use
when you don't, and you can restrain yourself. Not only that, Michelle A is this big. Dre was big compared to her. It doesn't matter the size, but
he's kind of a big dude.
He's big. And one of the things, I don't know if I can say this, that they try to water over the thing.
Say it.
Is Michelle A was about 14, 15 when like she started coming around, and they tried to cover up the fact of how young she really was.
Oh, because
when, yeah.
You know what? But when it comes to the hood, I think the hood rules about that are a little different.
Are very different.
They're different.
Very different.
Because if that was like, look, when you're in like the suburbs or the, let's call it what it is, the white neighborhood, if you're like 20 dating like a 17 or a 16 year old, is wrong.
Yeah.
It's flat out wrong. Like, you're doing something, people are upset. And if you're black dating a white girl, you're done. You're in jail.
You're finished.
You're going to jail for something. But in the hood, I feel like 22-year-old dating a 16-year-old
boyfriend was 20 years old when I was 15 and a half. That's why I lost my virginity to. But that was my boyfriend. Like, there was no...
And nobody
that was
even
it.
Said
nobody,
anything.
That was it. My mom knew him. That was that.
I mean, I feel like it's different. I don't know why it's okay, or if, like, I don't know why we think it's okay, because it's still not,
yeah,
technically speaking. But it's just, there's a certain type of maturity that comes, and then a lack of maturity on the other hand.
Yeah.
So it kind of mingles.
We're about the same age. Like, me at 15 and a half was him at 20.
Exactly.
So we kind of work.
Yeah. And it's just interesting because, you know, that plays a part. And this was something that wasn't depicted in the movie. And it's probably because of all the implications, like legal implications.
Yes.
There's other, you know, did you know that Karl Malone has a child with a woman? Okay, that he totally denies. He denies his child, even though it's clearly his blood relative. They have the test. And at the time she got pregnant, she was like 13 or 14.
See, that's crazy.
We just don't talk about it. Like, people just don't talk about it. Once again, going to the social media aspect, because if that was around at this time,
woo,
things would have been totally different.
Things would have been
totally different. Justin Bieber can't even fart without, like,
without somebody knowing what's going on.
So it's like, look at Chris Brown's life. Like, really? Like, Chris Brown and Rihanna, that was like a huge deal. And it was nothing. This was like Michelle Lay's
This was the Tina Turner and Ike situation. But what's crazy about this, which threw a lot of people off, because Dre is depicted as this sweet, you know, loving guy, and to see him in this light, and you would think Suge, who is this super violent and everything else, was really good to her, though.
That's,
you know what I'm saying? So that flip was very interesting.
Even though there was a problem with their marriage, like,
he was
shady on the marriage side, but he treated her really well.
Yeah, as far as, you know, with the physical abuse, the mental, all these other things. So it's just crazy to kind of see that flip and to have,
yeah, it's
you know,
an interesting dichotomy. And actually, Dr. Dre in this movie is played by my really good friend Curtis Hamilton.
And tell him I said hello, because he was looking too good.
Calm down.
Damn,
bro.
Hey, Dre.
Curtis,
you can come beats on me anytime.
We play ball. And Curtis is actually a really good friend of mine. Good dude. Really nice dude. I was like, wow. Hey, this is when I found out, Curtis, you can act, because honestly, he's a sweet, nice guy who's a family person. If you even have his Instagram, sometimes you just want to write throw up, because he'll be like, this is me and my sis, you know what I'm saying? Like, me and mom day.
Yeah,
like, it's like,
gosh.
Okay, calm down.
We just seen you beat Michelle, like, stop lying.
Yeah, exactly. And that really happened. So if you haven't seen the movie, I would suggest you check it out.
Yeah.
And of course, there was the Dee Barnes incident, which was a big thing that happened. Everyone knew, and it was a big deal, and people used to laugh about it in the 90s. I don't know how this played, you know? I don't know how this played out, but it's interesting watching. But they were NWA. I mean, niggas with attitudes.
They had a lot of attitude.
You already know what it is. Like, did you not listen to the music? Michelle A, did you not hear the lyrics before? You know what I'm saying? That's like if you date Drake and then they're like, I can't believe he cheated on me.
Come on now.
Really, nigga? Like,
come
yo,
on now.
Exactly.
Come on now.
Story number three. Okay, more male abuse. This time, Twitter troll, blogger, and alleged rapper Azealia Banks claims that Russell Crowe attacked her, okay, choked her, and called her the N-word as he forcefully removed her from his hotel suite at an after party that she came to as a plus one of super producer RZA. Russell Crowe and guests deny all allegations and say that it was Azealia Banks that displayed erratic behavior. As usual, Banks took to Facebook to address her concerns in the message shown here. So if we can just show that message. To recap my night, I went to a part which she means a party, at Russell Crowe's suite, at which he called me a nigger, choked me, threw me out, and spat at me. Last night was one of the hardest nights of sleep I've had in a long time. The men in the room allowed it to happen. I feel terrible today.
When I seen this at first, sometimes you think people have been hacked, hey, when you see something like this. And then I was like, oh, this might be real. And then I realized it was Azealia Banks. And that's, if this happened, let me say this right, if this happened, this was completely wrong. But she, I feel like she's always in the middle of something, and she's always putting dubs on a situation. And she, so I really want to know what happened, because I immediately I went to go see, and everybody's saying, well, it was her, and they're denying it. But because so many people don't like her, if I had a party, somebody came through acting stupid, and I put hands on them, all my people the party are gonna be like, nah, Kanisha didn't do nothing.
Hold please. Now let me tell you the other side of the story. There's two sides to every story, and then there's the truth, right?
Yeah.
So the Russell Crowe version, it was about 10 so people at this party. They were, Russell Crowe was playing music that he liked. Azealia Banks started making fun of the music that he was listening to.
She does.
Started making fun of the people there, making fun of white people, saying like derogatory things towards white. Was, and even according to RZA, she was the one that used the N-word. And she was removed by Russell Crowe because of her erratic behavior, but not, there was no choking or spitting or any of that. He just simply was like, you need to leave. And he tried to like push her out because she refused to leave.
And I can see her fighting back at the, get off me. Just, that's just the type of person she is, and yelling and being overboard. So it's like, where's the middle ground of what really happened? Because I don't think it was that gentle of a removal either. Somebody acting a fool at your party, you're not just, all right, come on, let's
go.
Of course, that's,
I think,
not,
like,
you know,
he probably helped her, but I don't think it was a hitting. I think it was just a grab and pull, like a bouncer would. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He's not hitting her, he just kicked her out. Because I do feel like RZA would step up.
Yeah.
I think out of everyone there, that the RZA would have just stepped up and been like, hey, what he did was wrong.
Yeah.
And RZA is not really taking, he's not speaking up, but he's not specifically taking Azealia Banks' side. And he did end up staying, like, more. So the whole thing is, she's Twitter trolled before. That's why she wasn't able to post this on Twitter. She's removed from Twitter for being abusive and being a bully to other people.
Yeah, because she went after that little baby Shay Jackson before.
Oh,
but she
gosh.
Ate her. That little girl ate her alive.
Ate
though,
her.
And that's what she gets. But this is what she feeds off. Every now and then she falls to, you know, being irrelevant, which she usually is anyway. Then she'll spark something to you know what I'm saying? That's what she does. She sparks things.
Nate actually wrote, was like, I don't even know who
she is.
Who is she? And it's like, yo, Azealia, if you put in this much effort into making music,
oh my gosh,
you would be way more famous. Like, I don't know, I only know one song you've ever put out.
I don't even know
212. I think that's her song. I'm not 100%.
I don't even know. I know she's a supposed rap. I've never heard her rap, but I have watched her do a million interviews talking about how terrible everybody else is about rapping and how terrible. And I just be like, what does she do?
What do you do?
What do you do?
You are the Martin Tommy of rap, like,
yeah,
right now.
Like,
what do you do? Like, where are, put out a song. But I hope this didn't really happen, because I like Russell Crowe. I mean,
yes.
Gladiator. Come on. I love Russell Crowe. He's a great actor. I don't know. I wasn't there, but I don't think it was that extreme, Azealia.
But I don't think it was a gentle, when somebody's acting a fool at your house.
Russell,
and you
didn't
can't gently put her out anyway, because she's, you know.
No one said it was gentle.
Okay.
See, that's the thing. The one thing that everyone said, they all used the word erratic.
And when somebody,
which is interesting, because it's like, did they all talk about it first, or?
Oh, right when they put her out. Like, listen, guys, now, keyword, erratic. She was erratic, right, guys? She was
erratic.
You know what I'm saying? Like that.
I mean, I don't know. I hope Russell Crowe didn't do anything or go overboard. And please don't be the N-word user, Russell Crowe. Even though I could see him being that guy.
Yeah.
I could, but I just don't think, I feel like RZA, my thermometer here is RZA.
Yes.
That's why.
Especially if you put the ER on the end, like she's saying. I don't really see him even sitting back for that.
Yeah, so. I don't see RZA. RZA comes through to me as a very correct, very...
Yes.
Like, he's the RZA.
Brother.
I mean, let's be real. He's the RZA. He is Wu-Tang. You know? And so I just feel like he would have intervened at that point. And no one did. No one intervened.
No one intervened, especially, but I feel like even if he had to intervene, that's your guest. That's when you snatch your guest up, too. And like, yo, come on, let's go. I got it, you know, Russ. You know, because when you bring somebody that's acting erratic, now you can't come back.
Exactly.
So I got to step in and be like, oh, it's time.
Why? And here's the thing. Azealia Banks, you know who the anti-Azealia Banks is right now? Tiana Taylor.
Oh, yes.
And she's killing it. I mean, that video with Kanye, that
oh,
that Bonnie, that dance mode, it was amazing. But yeah,
I didn't add 10 minutes to my workout because of that.
Gosh,
let me get an extra 10
ridiculous.
In. Guys.
So I hope it's not true. But Azealia Banks, your credibility, you are the girl who cried wolf way too many times. So I'm sorry. We just don't believe you. I don't believe you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And more importantly, get a job. Story number four. We move on now to people who actually do real music, real music diva, and rightfully so, megastar Janet Jackson, Miss Jackson, if you're nasty, has announced via People Magazine exclusive that she is pregnant at the ripe age of 50 years old and is expected to have her first baby with her now husband, billionaire Wissam Al-Manna. Interesting side note, Wissam used to date my cousin for a long time in D.C. And I've known him, you know, like I've known Wissam 20 years.
Wow.
Like I don't know him through, like we don't keep in touch, but
you know.
I knew him 20 years ago. We used to hang out a lot, which is interesting.
So and now that's Janet Jackson.
That's
baby
Janet
daddy.
Jackson's boo. And I mean, I don't know how Jermaine Dupri feel about this, but but yo, she's pregnant and she's 50. Which is crazy.
Gives me so much hope. I got because I was gonna freeze my eggs. So.
I mean, yeah, but she's 50 and has a billionaire husband. I mean, they could have froze the eggs inside her vulva. Like it's like they could have done anything. I don't know. I just hope that the baby's healthy.
Yeah, I definitely hope that. You know what's so crazy about this? I wasn't sure if she was really pregnant, so I was glad to see this picture because you know people have surrogates and act like that, and I was like, "There's no way she's pregnant.
She's pregnant.
There's no way."
Like,
but
this,
you can see it in her face. You can't even fake the baby weight in her face.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And she's never looked, I don't know what it is about pregnant women, but some pregnant women, when they get that hormonal glow, it's so attractive. She's never looked more beautiful to me. Because before, I could only see Janet Jackson as two things. I could only see her as Penny from Good Times.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to love Penny. You know what I'm saying? Got beat by her mom and then moved in with Valona.
Yes.
That was a big deal. And then I could only see her as Michael Jackson. Like, she looked so much like Michael Jackson, it was just unattractive to me.
I just didn't find it attractive.
She was like a darker skinned Michael Jackson with a very great complexion, but it was just a dark, like, she looks like Michael. But right now, as a mom, I don't know that weight, the breasts, I don't know what it is. It's something about her face. It's a glow.
It's the glow because
it's
what you
amazing.
Have to understand, you're giving birth. There's life within you. That's a miracle. Like, that's just something so beautiful
her hair,
to do. Look at her.
I don't know.
She's
happy. She looks beautiful.
She looks so happy.
I'm glad she's happy with a billionaire, Wissam Al-Manna, who has all this, like, he's in the Middle East. I mean, and
I need me a Middle Eastern boo. I'll take a broke one. I just like them.
Yo, I'm telling you, the way a lot of girls get hung up because the way we treat women, okay, it's different. It's almost addicting, right?
Addicting.
So it is. It is a little addicting. I promise you, if you date a Middle Eastern person, if you've ever known anyone that has, they'll always even with the hate, there's still passion and love.
Yeah.
Like they'll still say, you know what's actually interesting about that? So my dad and my mom have been together for 30 years plus, right?
Yeah.
There's a young lady who, she's not so young now, but she used to date my father before my father got with my mom. And this is over 30 years ago. And she still hits me up and says how much of a mistake it was that she broke up, and that she really still she keeps up with me and my life. And just
because you're supposed to be her son. She's y'all know that's supposed to be my son.
Yeah,
right?
She really feels like some type of way. And I just think that's interesting. And I mean, it's just an interesting
thing. Is she trying to get with you though? Because I mean, you know, sometimes it's the remix.
No,
like,
no. She has a son of her own, and her son's about my age. And she just thinks of me. She's like she's very motherly towards me and loving and is amazing. She's an amazing woman. Like she's a surrogate in a lot of ways, but she reconnected with me on Facebook and just felt that way. And I was like, that's a very interesting
thing. It is. But when you love somebody too, you'll love their children. So it's like, she probably still loved your dad so much. And it's like, oh,
she really does.
You know?
She really still does. It's just interesting. I feel like a lot of people always talk about Italians or French lovers. I think Middle Eastern lovers are...
But you know what? You guys don't ever get the sexy, loving rap. Like you said,
don't.
You're never... That's not... You don't ever put those two together. But then Middle Eastern men be fine.
Yo, when you catch them, I mean, in L.A., it's known. Like, a lot of these girls go crazy with the Persian guys and then stay wanting to be crazy.
Yeah.
And, like, addicted. Like, they go from Persian guy to Persian guy in a way. And it's actually really interesting. It's just interesting. And a lot of times, you know, a lot of Middle Eastern people just stay with themselves ultimately. So it's I love the fact that they're basically having a little Tehran. They are having a little Tehran. They're having a little, they're having a little Mecca, you know?
Look at that.
Exactly.
And
a Riyadh.
Cute. Ooh.
I mean, I don't think in that he used to be a good looking guy. Like younger was Sam was like, because he was like stylish and he had money. And especially in D.C., we don't have all the ballers that people have here. Yeah. We have like a lot of middle class, upper middle class. But he was balling in D.C. when people weren't balling. So he had a lot of style and stuff. And my cousin Tabby, who dated him, is like real interesting. She probably didn't want me to say her name, but... Oh, well. And
but can you even be mad? It's like Janet Jackson is with my man. Like,
exactly. Be like, well. And she has a great resume. And it's funny because she doesn't even go after guys like that. And she doesn't utilize the money. That's actually what they broke up over is Wassam was always trying to buy her stuff and she wouldn't accept it. So it bothered
his ego.
And he didn't like it. And that's what they fought over. So it's just interesting.
Which is crazy because anything he can buy, Janet can buy. So,
oh my gosh. I mean, yeah.
That's one hell of a...
Yeah, but it helps when you have a billion. It helps. That billion helps.
I'm trying to see what that's like.
Wait, I cannot wait. Story number 5. Teen Idols Little Mix, British group, are in hot water for their performance and outfits on X Factor UK. The British girl group has been slammed recently for being too provocative. Even Mel B of the former Spice Girls saying the group is too provocative for her 7-year-old. The group, who shot to fame on The Family Show, were blasted for wearing too revealing clothes and were even called prostitutes by many of the viewers who changed the channel, causing a mid-slide in ratings. Here is a clip of their performance.
This song goes too.
What's the song? It's called something about the ex.
Yeah.
Is she talking about the ex?
Yeah, listen to it. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of cute, though.
They're very cute.
I mean, cute. I mean, like, yo. All right, let's play the clip. Thank you. Let's get that. Because this is just, I mean, and the thing about their outfit is, honestly, I saw it and I didn't think it was that bad. They're cute. I mean, I think they're really cute.
Okay, this is the situation for people to call them prostitutes. One, look, there's no breast. There's not breast jumping everywhere. The only one is kind of like in the pink bathing suit, and that's barely that. You know what I'm saying?
I think they had a problem with the in the black bathing suit, too. Like
probably because that one is a little hippie, but if it was hippie and it was super low, because even where it's low cut, the breasts are covered. You know what I'm saying? So if she wouldn't have put the black thing under and it would have just been all boobs, I can see that. I'm laughing because the girl, which I'm assuming she's black or at least mixed, she's the most covered up. Like the boots go all the way up and she got the long shirt on.
And she actually looks the cutest to me personally. Like that's the kind of girl that I would go for in on the low. Like in order, I would go, not that you asked, but I would go black, then pink top, black shorts with the brown hair, and then black
hippie.
Black thighs, and then the one in the middle last. That's just my personal taste. Should I be looking at these girls? I don't even know if they're 18. I hope they are.
I think they are.
I hope they are. I hope they're 18.
Yes.
If they're not 18, then
we take it back. We'll go with the dancers in the back.
Yeah, but I mean, I think they're 18. And do I think that this is appropriate for kids? Probably not, but neither is Rihanna, Beyonce, nobody.
I was like, going to say, this doesn't compare to a lot of the stuff that I've even seen just on Instagram. I mean, even the
Kylie
one that has the little pink thing on, then she has a coat in the back, so her booty's not out. I feel like they did a very good way of balancing being covered up and being sexy at the same time. Even the one that has the little, then she put the jacket on. So there's things that, and they have the high boots. I don't know. I just feel like this, you could go to the beach and see somebody and less than this. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe it's because we have an American sense of sensibility when it comes to these things, and we're exposed to a lot more. But you would think the English are.
Yeah, have you seen some of their commercials?
Yeah, they're about S&M. Like everyone's getting spanked. Like, and would you like some Sprite? Like, yo, you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, but I mean, that's how it is. Wellington, I guess, found this very offensive.
Yeah, this. I'm just trying to figure out the prostitute to my 7-year-old daughter. And Spice Girls got some goddamn nerves.
Especially the Spice Girls. Mel B, who can get it, by the way.
Oh, my daughter can't watch this. Well, there was a time where people were saying that about you guys.
100%.
For their kids. And if your 7-year-old can't watch it.
This is like, I don't know whose fault it is, but I remember there was a time, there was a movie called Showgirls.
Yes.
And it was rated, it was rated X. It was rated NC-17. It was just out, it was just.
They ruined Jesse Spano.
It was a porn. Now they just play it on TBS.
Yeah, like it's
on a day where, like, it's in its full content, like it's nothing during the day.
Yes, you right after saying? Saved by the Bell. Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, you want to see what Jesse did after she took that speed?
Nothing. Like, we listen to songs as people eating booty like groceries, and you have a problem with this?
What, this is, that's absolutely crazy to me. That's, I don't think it's, I don't think it's as bad as when I read the story versus when I seen it. And again, I think a number one thing has to do with the boobs. They did a very good job of covering. I feel like they're private.
My thing is, first of all, women should be allowed to own their sexuality and wear whatever they want. As men, we should, if we're looking at it, then it's our fault. Like, we don't have to look at them lustfully. Women can just be beautiful like art. Second of all, I do think that if you don't like your 7-year-old watching things like this, then don't let yourself. Your 7-year-old shouldn't have access to whatever it is. I mean, I wasn't allowed to watch The Simpsons. You know what I'm saying? Or really? I wasn't allowed to watch Married with Children. I'll tell you that. There was a time, because that was like, it was pushing the border there, right? So it's just like, we should control our kids more. I understand the concern, but compared to everything else that's out,
this is harmless.
This is in the same line. But maybe this was a publicity stunt. Because I didn't know who Little Mix was until this.
Me neither.
And now I'm
like, oh, Little
Mix. Shout out to my ex.
I'm about to be bumping Little Mix.
Taylor Swift wrote that song. I don't know. Story number 6. Trump obviously isn't the only racist Republican in this race. In a recent campaign promise, John Garodes, in an email to NBC, the Republican running to represent the 30th State Senate District in New York, promised to hand out watermelon and KFC at his next event that takes place on 125th Street in Harlem. Yeah. Garodes went unchallenged for his candidacy and currently is in third place, but with only 4.6% of the votes. Side note to this, he actually was getting arrested yesterday for a scam, for a renting scam that they alleged that he did. But he is still running. A lot of Republicans have recently, after all this, the rest especially, have distanced themselves from him and his campaign.
Okay, can I go on record and say, watermelon and chicken is the most played out racist comment in the... I'm tired of people using it. Just stop. It is the most played out, okay, we love watermelon and chicken. Watermelon chicken is bomb as hell.
It's delicious.
I love watermelon.
Honestly, I want watermelon in KFC. Yes. Actually, I'm not a KFC. Popeye's over KFC.
That's what I was gonna
every
say.
Day.
Yes, Popeye's is
over
spicy.
KFC. That's my personal... Unless KFC wants to sponsor our show, and then I love KFC.
But it's just like, okay, the chicken and watermelon. Like, find a better insult at this point, especially as a comedian. That's like somebody just keep doing the same joke over and over. You're like, please just stop.
Hacky. Like, even for a Republican, at least Trump's creative.
Yes.
He's got them building a wall. He's got Mexicans building a wall and paying for it.
Now that's,
like, that's a twist. You know what I'm saying? That's a twist. He didn't say tortilla. He said wall, and you're paying for it with your own dinero. You know what I'm saying?
That's a twist. That's what I want. I wanted to see something way better than this. And this is just, it's weak. I would have just sent the email back. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. It's, people are ridiculous. And everybody has their, you know, I got a joke about everybody in every race. You know, that's...
It's just a hacky joke. And I mean, their time and place for hackiness.
And this is
the Republican Senate race is probably not one of
those. No, not at all.
This is my opinion.
Hope he tells it in jail. So what'd you say about that watermelon?
So apparently he's been trying to rent out apartment space, getting deposits, and then just not renting it out keeping the deposits from at least 10 complaints.
Oh, he needs his bleep the whoop.
So we'll see what happens. Hopefully he doesn't get white privilege. And honestly, he kind of looked black.
I was going to say, he's mixed, half Latino. He's something.
Yeah.
You know what would be really funny is I got a mumble D, but it happens sometimes. During his stay in jail, they should just bring him chicken and watermelon. Somebody should just bring him the chicken and watermelon.
Hilarious.
Yes. Seedless watermelon.
Seedless watermelon, by the way, cultivated in Iran. True story. Pushing their culture. Story number 7. A Delta plane crew almost let a passenger die when they refused to believe that African-American doctor Tamika Cross was actually a doctor. Real story. Delta flight DL-945 was panicked when an unresponsive passenger caused commotion amongst the flight crew. The crew refused to acknowledge Dr. Cross, raising her hand when asked for any doctors on the plane. Then A flight crew member actually patronized her by saying, "Oh no, sweetie, put your hand down. We are looking for actual physicians or nurses or some type of medical personnel. We don't have time to talk to you." That was actually, that's what she says they said.
Yes.
Dr. Cross tried to explain that she was a doctor, but the flight crew questioned and interrogated her, asked her for credentials, and in the process, they did not do this when an older white gentleman came
up. They didn't ask
as a doctor.
For anything.
They didn't ask. They were like, "Oh, it was verified," but she saw the whole thing and said they just took his word for it. Dr. Cross took to Facebook in astonishment and anger with her story. Apparently, she still remained calm while on the plane, which I don't know if I could have.
No.
Now, I don't know if this is a race thing, and I'm going to tell you why. If you look at her picture, right, this could be one of three things. She looks very young. She looked very young. Okay, so that could be an age thing. Number two, I could also see because she's so good looking, right? Sometimes we don't take good looking people to be intelligent people. Yes. And I don't mean that just for women. I mean that for men. Yes. Sometimes too, but especially for women. Like a woman with big breasts and a fat ass. I remember there's this one teacher who was great, and they were just mocking what she was wearing. And if she was an unattractive teacher, they wouldn't care what she was wearing. A lot of times things like this play into that. And because she's attractive or because she's young, I hope it's not race or a combination of the three, but I fear that it is.
I definitely understand what you're saying, and I can take all the, now that you said that, I can see all those things playing a reason, but I also feel like on top of that, I just feel like race was an issue in that as well. I just do. And that's, you know, I always feel like
I'll tell you why, and I'll put this in perspective myself, right? So I wear a bathrobe a lot. I'm very chill, like club. You would never suspect that I have a master's in economics or a Georgetown law degree, right?
Right.
So, is it possible if someone questioned me, they'd be like, really? Like, they would question me more than they would someone, whether black or white, dressed up in a suit and tie.
Okay, well, I understand that. But if somebody is dying, why would I just stand up and go, I'm a doctor? That's the part that doesn't make
crazies.
Sense.
There's a lot of crazies.
But she doesn't look crazy. But then not only that, after I told you and you asked me and then I'm continuing to tell you and you're still treating me with disrespect, that's where it went too far. I feel like if that first interaction, okay, we could get past it. But when you're just like, no, you don't look like a doctor. We're looking for somebody. It's just like, okay, but I'm sitting here telling you. I'm not, you know, I'm telling you what's going on. Then somebody else pops up and you go, you don't give them the same harassment that you gave me.
And here, and to further that, I feel like we all kind of do that. We expect our bankers to look a certain way, our doctors to look a certain way, our lawyers to look a certain way, even the president, you know? And Nate actually, in one of the previous shows, brought up the point, well, what if we made do-rags and saggy pants like a norm? Then people would expect doctors to look like that. I don't know if I'm ready for that kind of commitment yet.
But I know a million black doctors, so how is this not? To me, she, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, look, she does not look like a doctor to me. Like, she doesn't not, like, if I said I was a doctor, I could see people being a little more skeptical because of the bathrobe and just general demeanor. However, when it comes to her, she does look very intelligent looking to me. But why do we even have that stereotype to begin with? What is intelligent looking?
Because there's some smart looking dummies walking
around.
Exactly. You know
that
saying?
Is a true
there's
story.
There's some smart looking dummies.
Exactly.
Well, what I appreciate about this, though, a lot of women doctors and women of color had started uploading their pictures that were doctors. And were like, this is what a doctor looks
what
like.
What a doctor looks like.
And there were some beautiful women, some young women, some and I loved it. And they're all standing in support. This is what a doctor looks like. It's not just what you think.
And I loved it a lot because I saw a lot of black women.
Yes.
Beautiful black women who I try to tweet and be like, hey, what's up? What's it? There's a lot of good looking women. And then a lot of like
there's a lot of
Latinas
Latino women.
And a lot of Persian women. Because there's a huge Persian doctor population. And a lot of these Latino women were beautiful as well.
Yes.
And I was like, I love that. I love that these beautiful women are not just saying, hey, I'm good looking. They're saying, I'm a good person, or I'm intelligent, or there's more substance than just the outer beauty.
Yes.
And not to devalue outer beauty, because people always try to do that. Like, oh, it doesn't matter what... Yes, it does. It matters what you look like on the outside just as much as it does on the inside. Let's not take away that value. I don't believe in that either. So if someone's beautiful on the outside, good for them. But if they're beautiful on the inside, great for them.
Yes.
That's what I mean. It's like... good, and I loved it. I'm gonna go if I need an OBGYN, I'm gonna go to Dr. Tamika Cross. she can check my ovaries anytime.
Hey,
she can check my ovaries. Now, let's end this on some happy news.
Okay.
Last story number 8. Price is Right went a little crazy this week when three contestants on the same show all made a dollar spins on the big wheel, each winning $1,000 in a bonus spin. All three used both spins to do so. So they didn't even hit the dollar. They just used a combination of different numbers, which baffled Drew Carey. He was going crazy. The three-way tie resulted in all three spinning to see who entered the showcase. Ultimately, contestant Manfred won that honor and went on to win a car and a cruise in the showcase showdown. We have this clip. Let's end with this one. Look at that. All three. Three-way tie. That's crazy.
So I have something for you.
What's up?
When I was on The Price is Right.
You were on The Price
is Right. Yes, I was on The Price is Right. And I was slipping because of my slip top, so I had to take my shoes off. But I had 95, okay? The girl behind me, she hit 90, and then she had to spin again. And do you know that she hit the 10 and got
no.
it? And I'm talking about the producers came out. Everybody was like, and of course, you know, they really wanted me to go on. I mean, I had a blast on the show. Everything just stopped, and everybody came out and was like, what just happened? Because I knew I was going to the showcase with 95.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. She hit the 90, and she hit that 10, and everybody went crazy.
Oh, my gosh. Because this is a dream of life. I've been watching Price is Right since I was a kid. I've always wanted to go. The Price is Right and Jeopardy, the two shows that I want to go on.
Oh my gosh. And it's just, I had so much fun on, and I didn't know the price of anything. My boyfriend was like, you are just like that. I was the first one called up and the last one, and that's because the Navy Beans was like, say this for the motor scooter, and
hilarious.
I did what they said and it got me up. I didn't
hilarious.
Know the price of anything. It was bad.
You lived my dream for a second.
Oh my god, it was so live. I loved it.
Who was hosting at the time?
Drew Carey.
Oh, okay, because you know Bob.
But I didn't know it was Drew, so I'm sitting there like, yeah,
who's this?
But Drew loved me so much that he ended up getting my information because he had just bought into the Sounders, the soccer stuff, and he like talked to me. He was like, let me know when you have a TV set and all this stuff. When I have first moved here, talking about my comedy, and they emailed me and they gave me Sounders tickets and all type of stuff. Like, I had a blast.
That's
on that
what's
show.
Up. That's amazing. See, that's how we like to end it. We start there, but we finish here because that's the kind of show we are. Headlines with Headliners each and every week right here, Tuesdays on BHL. That's Black Hollywood Live. You need to make sure to check us out. Send us to your friends. Write comments down below. Share and subscribe. Spread it around like the syphilis that Kenesha swears she never had. I am Teron, the bathrobe heartthrob. Make sure to find me at I am Teron across social media, IG, Twitter, Snapchat, and every Monday and Thursday at 10 p.m. at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood. And of course,
hey guys, you know, you can find me at Kenesha Is Comedy on all social media. You can check me out over on All Deaf Digital and Sirius XM or at the Monistat Owl.
I can't wait to come check you out, the Monistat Owl.
Yeah.
Oh, Monistat.
Monistat 7.
Oh, my bad. I was just thinking about your... Okay, guys. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you. Hey, shout out to Steve in the booth. Steve, you the man.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Oh, man.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.